Hello, and welcome to Working Together with Kelly Elkins. I am your host, Kelly Elkins, your Chief Operating Officer for Maine Health. In this new podcast series, I will be joined each episode by guests who are participating on teams focused on how we can further support and enhance how we work together across Maine Health so that we can achieve our vision of working together so our communities are the healthiest in America. In particular, we will highlight work we are doing in further development of our operating model for Maine Health and how we are creating structure and processes that make it easier for you to do your work. Today's episode is titled Fiscal Year 24 Balance Scorecard Highlights. Many of you may have listened to the original Keeping Score podcast episodes where Mark Harris educated us on the balance scorecard concept for Maine Health to not only track our performance, but assist in keeping track of the execution of our strategic plan, as well as the areas of focus for fiscal year 23. As we prepare to move into a new fiscal year 24, Mark is back to share some of the highlights of the fiscal year 24 scorecard measures. To join me in the conversation this morning is my return guest, Mark Harris, Chief Planning Officer for Maine Health. Welcome back to the podcast, Mark.
Thanks, Kelly. Glad to be here.
And in fact, I think you've got the record now. This will be your third podcast recording.
All right.
So, Mark, as we are wrapping up our first year with our Unified Strategic Plan and Balanced Scorecard Management System for Maine Health, one would love some of your insights, observations, and or lessons learned from this past year, our first year really living in this new system and environment.
Yeah, as care team members may remember, we finalized the FY23-27 strategic plan in the late fall, and we're building the scorecard at the same time that we were finalizing the plan, you know, kind of building the ship as we were sailing it, so to speak. And while the Maine Health Board of Trustees approved the plan and scorecard in November, many of our local health systems didn't have their scorecards in place until late January. So now, while those scorecards mirrored the health systems, it still required a good deal of communication about this new management tool and how each local health system could contribute to the achievement of the strategic plan and system scorecard. So I think for FY24, we got a running start, right? And began our discussions in early spring. We've shared iterative progress more broadly across the system with regional leadership, and we were able to finalize the FY24 scorecard ahead of the start of the fiscal year, which has kind of been our roadmap over the last number of years. But every time we do a strategic plan, it's always that first year that is a little clunky just because of the timing of board approvals.
No, I think it's a great point because for many, they may just now be getting comfortable even with the concept of the scorecard, and we're already at the end of the first year. But I'm with you, I think, really excited that we're able to go into fiscal year 24 with the system scorecard, with local scorecards developed, and hopefully folks having a little bit more familiarity from this first year really are able to jump in and really focus on how the work they do really impacts our goals and our priorities and our strategic plan and the areas we want to focus in the in those strategic priorities for 24.
Yeah, I think one of the things that, you know, is related to that, Kelly, is the necessary communication required for our care team members as to the why we've chosen a particular strategy. And I like to use the work that we've been doing around the social determinants of health and screening for race, ethnicity, and language as an example there. Early on, you'll remember we were having trouble meeting initial progress on those screening tools with regard to race, ethnicity, and language. And the feedback we were receiving from patients is that they didn't understand the purpose behind the question. And so when we stepped back and provided additional information to our care team members on the why this is important, which links back to identifying and understanding healthcare disparities in our communities, this shifted the perspective and allowed us to move this, you know, move us past this barrier and helped us to achieve our target for the year.
Yeah, I think the connection back to our strategic plan, ultimately our mission, vision, and values is what anchors all of this work. This is really simply the tool to really measure our progress and how we're working towards achieving those longer-term goals we have for our organization.
That's exactly right. The strategic plan sets our direction, and the scorecard is our management system as a way to monitor performance in order to get there.
Yeah. So let's talk about 24 and the scorecard. So my first question, Mark, is, you know, when we looked at the scorecard last year, we had 5 strategic priorities on the scorecard. How many priorities will be on the scorecard this year? And how many goals? Are there changes in the number of objectives and goals and targets we have?
No changes in our priorities. The same 5 priorities around community, patients, people, processes, and financial health. And the same 15 strategies. You'll remember there are 3 for each priority. And we're also keeping the same 5-year targets that were identified in the strategic plan: reducing greenhouse gas emissions, lowering the cost of care, 4-star or greater rating for CMS quality, top quartile performance and patient experience are just a few examples there.
Great. So no significant changes to those priorities, the 5-year aspirational goals like you just mentioned. But what changes, if any, can our care team expect to see in the scorecard this year?
Well, for some of the strategies, you'll see a more incremental increase in the targets. I'll use the social determinants of health example again around the screening for food insecurity, race, ethnicity, and language. In FY23, our target was to get to 65% of our patients screened. In FY24, we bumped that up to 75%. So this incremental progress is in order to achieve that 5-year target of 100% of patients screened for the social determinants of health, race, ethnicity, and language, and sexual orientation, gender identity. And some of the targets will actually remain the same.
Oh.
A few examples here include care team engagement. For FY24, we're looking to achieve a 0.11 increase, the same target we had in FY23. The patient experience target is also the same, looking to achieve a 2-point increase in net promoter score. Those are just a few examples.
No, I think it's important to note that really we're just building upon the progress year over year for many of the objectives and stretching ourselves, right, to either do more or grow in the space or maintain some of the performance we've had so that we can hit to that 5-year goal. So I do think that's important for the teams to understand. Are there any objectives that are completely new and different on the scorecard this year?
I would say yes, because it's a movement from a process measure to an outcome measure. I'll give you an example here around environmental sustainability, for instance. In FY23, the target was to complete environmental sustainability assessments for our 12 major facilities, mainly our hospitals. Those assessments have been completed and have identified a number of ways for us to reduce our carbon footprint. So in FY24, the target is to initiate some of those actions to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. So while in 23 we talked about doing the assessments, which is more of a process kind of measure, now we're saying now we need to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions, reduce our carbon footprint, and that's what we've put in place for FY24.
Great.
Another example in this thread is the high reliability strategy.
Yeah.
In FY23, the target was to establish no harm indices at our local health systems. Again, a process measure. But for FY24, the target is to achieve a reduction in harm events, which is an outcome measure.
Great. So do we have any process-based measures this year, or is everything kind of moving into action?
We're working more and more to move into action on those. We're looking less at process and more at outcome. But I would like to share, though, where there might be a little bit more of a substantial change in one of the metrics, and that's in the quality area. So we've always had a quality dashboard, right? In FY23, that dashboard included 8 measures. In FY24, we've expanded that number to 34, and this expansion links directly to the 5-year target to achieve 4-star or greater rating in CMS quality measures across the enterprise. And CMS has broadened the measures they're tracking to include metrics in 4 domains: inpatients, ambulatory, home health, and behavioral health. So our quality dashboard now links directly to these CMS measures,
which is wonderful and so much more representative of the continuum of care we offer in our system. I mean, the dashboard before was excellent, but it really only targeted the traditional inpatient, acute care, and ambulatory, leaving behavioral health and our home health and kind of post-acute care continuum out of the picture. And so love that the CMS measures now align with that and that we're adopting that as a system.
That's exactly right. And home health and behavioral health had a tough time in FY23 linking their scorecard right. in the quality area
right.
Because it was so inpatient and ambulatory based.
Yeah. Now, Mark, there is one objective that may seem new to people on the dashboard. It's one that's near and dear to my heart since I'm the executive sponsor this year. But maybe talk a little bit about what changed with our workforce development strategy.
Yeah, I'd be glad to. So you'll remember for FY23, the target there was to reduce overall turnover. And in fact, what we learned was that not only did we reach our target there, we actually bested the five-year goal for us, which was to achieve top quartile performance. And so what we found was that while we were doing a really good job in reducing overall turnover, our colleagues across the nation were not doing so well.
Right.
So that gap widened in our favor.
Right.
And we actually achieved that top quartile performance. And so at the same time, then, as we were learning this, we also received information from a third-party vendor who did some work around workplace violence and workplace mm-hmm. violence prevention. And as the senior team were deliberating our FY24 scorecard, knowing that we had achieved that five-year objective,
right.
but yet had this new information with regard to workplace violence, we couldn't ignore that.
Absolutely.
And so it was a way for us to shift our thinking around workforce development to that violence prevention program. And so that's why you see that in the FY24 scorecard with regard to those number of initiatives that we're attempting to achieve by the end of the fiscal year.
Right. Yeah, it's critically important. It's top of mind for everyone and a space that we know, not just in fiscal year 24, but beyond, we want to continue to improve and enhance in. But I think it also shows how the scorecard is really a measurement tool and is a little more nimble, right, than say our strategic plan, which really sets that course direction. But the scorecard allows us kind of year to year to say, what are the areas that are most impactful, that are going to impact our overall experience for our care team? And to your point, while we did excellent with turnover and we would continue to focus on that, definitely if we create a safe and secure environment, more folks are going to want to join and stay with us long term. So it also helps, I think, further not just engagement, but the retention of individuals within the organization.
That's exactly right. And from what I understand from the work that you've been leading is that not only are there system activities that we can take with regard to policies and procedures and other things like that, but there's also specific information and recommendations for local health systems
yes.
to take with regard to how they can make their environment much more safer for their care team members. So
yeah.
I like that play between there are things that the system can do in order to support that effort.
Right.
But there are also things that each local health system can do that are very specific and unique to their environments.
Agree. And, you know, I think teeing up that local uniqueness really is a nice segue of when can or when should care team members expect to start seeing and hearing about their local scorecard for fiscal year 24?
In the coming days, really,
because
we're at that point, right? So local health system leadership is taking the main health scorecard, and they're linking their scorecards to that system, working to identify specific ways they can contribute to the success of the entire system. And many of our local health systems will continue to cascade their local scorecards to departments and units within their organization as well. So it's not too far away for local health systems to begin to share their local scorecards in local health systems.
Which is really exciting. And to your point about the cascade, I think a message we really want everyone to hear is when we talk about cascading the scorecard right beyond an organizational level to a department or maybe teams or individuals, it's not the intent that an individual care team member on the front line have a scorecard of their own with 15 objectives. It's really meant to say, hey, in the work I do every day, I can really impact care variation. And I'm going to have a, you know, kind of a personal goal or a team goal to help impact that for the whole organization. And so really exciting for fiscal year 24 to see how that matures in the cascading of that kind of connection to the work, mm-hmm. and ultimately connecting to our value of ownership and that everyone owns a part in our success.
That's exactly right. And I think that's the beauty of that scorecard is that it can be impacted by each and every one of our care yeah. team members. The one most obvious, of course, is patient experience. And so every time, you know, we are patient facing, thinking that that is one of our objectives is to get that 2-point increase in that promoter score is, and how you interact with that patient and family is, you know, the paramount of that activity,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. You know, Mark, just a fun story. So I monthly do what we call operating reviews with our regions and our local health system senior teams. And we just did a kind of a year-end look back on the scorecard. And there was a great example to just your point of environmental sustainability and an individual impact. And one of the teams highlighted that they had an individual department that said, hey, it was our home health division, right? So they weren't part of the big campus assessment, but they wanted to have an impact. And they identified that they're buying a ton of bottled water to have for folks to take out with them in the field or when they're coming in for meetings. So they decided to invest in a couple of kind of standing water fountains where folks can refill their own bottles. They have calculated they saved 11,000 plastic bottles.
Wow.
That otherwise would have been used this year. And so for that team, that's huge, right? That's a significant impact that team made
yeah.
to this organization. So I think to your point, it's a really just good example of how folks connect and impact in many ways, and really excited to see how 24 gets underway and how we make those connections.
Boy, that's a great example.
Kelly. Yeah. Yeah. So, Mark, I want to thank you again for joining me on the podcast, talking about some of the highlights for 24 on the balanced scorecard. More importantly, what's not changing and really those tweaks and incremental improvements and goals we have for ourselves this year.
Well, again, thanks so much for having me on the program. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, I hope that you found this episode informative and provides a deeper insight into one of our major areas of focus as we continue to enhance how we work together as MaineHealth to achieve our vision of working together so that our communities are the healthiest in America. If you have ideas for topics for future podcasts, please email those to workingtogether@mainehealth.org. Thank you and have a blessed day.